We're thinking on this second Sunday of Advent, this Sunday when we light the peace candle, about fear and anxiety and the story of Christmas. Let me read you some background to that video we saw. Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting that might be. But the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary. You have found favor with God, and you'll be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." "How will that be?" Mary asked, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "Well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. Father God, as we read that passage, as we reflect on what we've been experiencing through worship, and as we're reminded of this Christmas season, Father, we pray that you would speak to us this morning through your word. That we would hear you, that you would speak to us in the anxious thoughts or the fear that we might have in areas of our lives, that we might experience your peace in fresh ways. So, Father God, we pray. Come and speak, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we're thinking about this idea of Mary's story, of how God kind of breaks into her world in this crazy way with this angel, and he breaks in her comfort zone, and how he starts this conversation with, "Fear not, for you have found favor with God." And I wonder this morning if fear is part of your world at all, fear, anxiety, whatever you want to call it. Researchers tell us that the most common fears are things like fear of heights, fear of the dark, fear of public speaking, and maybe you've got some of those. But I wonder if we looked at our day-to-day lives, if we would find things that were a little smaller and maybe more personal. I think a lot of our actions are shaped by fear. Fear of change, fear of loss. And for many people, those are the same things because change often brings loss. Fear of losing control. Fear of shame, fear of failure. And I don't know, but sometimes it feels like we can be anxious people. And so I kind of wonder this morning if we had this stage here, what if this was the place of security? And what if we got a little further out onto the dance floor? What if this was a place of anxiety a little bit more? And what if out here somewhere is a place of fear, a place of not being sure? I chose this place here because that's where I am, and of course I'm fearless, and I'm secure in myself and all those kind of things, you know. Or at least I thought I was until this week or last week or whenever it was, and the director of our arts academy came to me and said, "Hey, I'd love to do dance in the morning service." And I said, "Of course you would." And my anxiety level just ratcheted up just a little bit. And then we worked it out, and it was beautiful, no? And just a way of doing that. But it's interesting, sometimes where you are is very specific to what's going on around you. We live in an age that's been called the age of anxiety. 100 years ago, World War I ended, last month actually. And that war was a war that changed the world. Up until then, through the end of the the 1800s and the early 1900s, there was this belief that science was going to usher in everything that was perfect. Science was going to solve all our problems. We were going to deal with everything. And it was an age that was moving towards a golden age. And then all of a sudden, World War I came, and there was this battle in the trenches. And for 4 years, the world was changed, and science was seen as bringing death, not life. And out of World War I came a loss of faith in the ability for the world to get better. And it became what was called an age of anxiety. It started in philosophy, moved into the arts, moved into a lot of different parts of life. And I think we live in this age of anxiousness, this age of anxiety, this age of change. And sometimes we think, well, we as Christians, we're the exception to that because, you know, we have God. You know, and God is this secure thing for us. But will we know that even as Christians, fears haunt us? And we know even as the church, fears haunt us, fear of change, fear of all those kind of things. It's funny just to look back on church thing, you know. I mean, when was dance allowed in church? When were drums allowed in church? When was screens allowed in church? Lyle Schaller talks about when the churches on the prairies, when they got running water, and so they could move the washroom from the outhouse at the back property line into the church. And some of the people were just in arms about that and just said, wait a second, you're going to put the washroom in the church? You're going to let people do what in the house of the Lord? And change came. And yet in the story of Christmas, we find four different times and four different stories, angels come to people. And they say the same thing. They start out with, fear not. Do not be afraid. In fact, I looked that up in my concordance of my Bible, and there's about 200 times in the Bible God says to us, fear not, in one way or another. Some have said it's the most common command in the Bible, don't be afraid, probably because we need to hear it. And so maybe this Christmas we need to hear about fear and about peace. And let's start with the don't be afraid part. You remember Zechariah? We talked about him last week. If you weren't here, you can listen to that online. The angel comes to Zechariah and says, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call him the name John. Fear not, your prayer has been heard. And then to Joseph, if you remember, Joseph sees an angel in a dream, but when Mary and Joseph had been betrothed, we'll look at that in a second, before they came together, which is church talk for not having sex, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. Shepherds on that Christmas Eve out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And then today, as we think about Mary especially, the angel who comes to her and says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. I think of all the people that got an angel that night, Mary was maybe the one who needed that fear not the most. I think she needed it because her life was about to change the most, and she was going to risk the most in that change. So just a little bit about why she was risking so much. We know that she and Joseph at this point were engaged or betrothed. We don't use the word betrothed, so we use the word engaged in a lot of modern translations. It's not the same thing. It's culturally different. But Mary is in this relationship when the angel comes to her and says, fear not, for you found favor with God. So when a girl got to be a certain age and a guy got to be a certain age, their parents began looking for spouses for them. It's the way things should be. And they would kind of negotiate with their friends. They sometimes got some help, but they would find a fit. And the fit was the fit of the family, not the fit of the individual. It wasn't about, do you love this person with an emotional feeling? It was, is this a good fit? And so they would come together and they would arrange the marriage. I was talking to someone before the service from the Middle East, and they were saying, well, we still do this back there. And I mean, in many cultures, arranged marriages are still part of the deal. And it just makes a lot of sense to do that because, you know, it just has all kinds of really positive things. First of all, it's families that get along. At Christmas, you know what it's like to be with families that don't get along. It establishes a commitment that's deeper than just emotional love. It's not just a feeling that may go one day and so the marriage goes. It's this commitment that's made, and hopefully emotional love grows out of that. But it's not the basis of it. I mean, we believe so strongly in this that Don, our children's pastor upstairs, arranges marriages for all your children. And you may want to check with her just to see who your child's intended is, but we like to do it before preschool finishes. So the arrangement was made, the marriage was brought together. Mary and Joseph would have been brought together by their parents, and they would have become betrothed. And becoming betrothed was this legal covenant that was made. So they would actually get together, they would sign a contract, and there was a payment made by the groom to the bride's parents called the bride price, and it was called the mohar in Hebrew. And it was this idea that there was this price paid, and part of it was to pay for the wedding, and part of it was sort of an insurance policy on the groom, if you want. If he died young, if he disappeared, she would have that money. The father would keep that money in trust so that she would have something in her time of need. And so this contract was signed, and they would become betrothed. And for 1 year, roughly, they would be in this legal relationship, but they weren't living together. They weren't having sex together. It was this time of just preparing for marriage. And this is the stage that they were in. At some point, there would be the big marriage ceremony, and they would consummate the marriage, which is church talk for sex again, and everything would move on from there. But it's at this stage, and at this stage, it's a very serious stage. And it's at this stage the angel breaks in and says to Mary, hey, good news. God loves you so much that you're going to get pregnant. And, you know, as we saw in the video, well, that's a change. It's a change because it would bring immense cultural shame in the village, because their village was not very big. Everybody knows everybody. It is a challenge when you're a small business person in a community and you're not found trustworthy enough to make the marriage work the right way. There's all kinds of issues that are there. Part of it is this fear not is just the angel that comes and gives the message. I don't know how you picture that angel. You can get Christmas cards and Renaissance art which has these little babies that can fly. And maybe that's what you're thinking. Or maybe just, you know, an angel that looks like what we think to be an angel. But in Jewish thought, angels were the warriors of God. They're his army. It's more like Game of Thrones than Renaissance art, if you want. And yet these angels come and they give this message. And they're trying to say it's okay. Yeah, it's pretty scary to get a message from God. Yeah, it's pretty scary to get a message from an angel from God. Yeah, it's pretty scary what the message is that the angel from God brings. But don't be afraid. And at that moment, there comes a response opportunity. There comes a space where they can choose to obey or not obey. And each of those has that opportunity, Zechariah, Joseph, Mary, the shepherds. And Mary and Joseph have this fear that we began talking about, this fear of what would it mean to say yes? What would it mean to obey? What would it mean for Mary to say, "Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word"? Well, it's personal shame. It's disappointing parents. It's interfering with the relationship with your husband-to-be, who's the small businessman that needs the trust of people in your village in order to get work. It's breaking the religious vows that you have made as part of this engagement thing. There's change and unknownness. And I just think of, I don't think Joseph was a guy that changed easily. I mean, here's a guy that probably was doing his father's occupation. He was living in the same town that he'd grown up in, that his father had grown up in. He is going to raise his son, Jesus, to be a carpenter just like him in the same town that he grew up in. You know, this is not a thing of change. And yet God breaks into his life and into Mary's life and says, change is happening. And in our society, change is much more fluid than the societies that they grew up in. And in fact, pretty well nothing of their old life will be unchanged by this decision that they make. And yet Mary says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be." And they must have moved into an age of anxiety. I don't know how far down the stage they are, but at some point they must have almost fallen off the end of it, with just the fear and the uncertainty of where this was going to go. And in your notes there, where Mary says, the angel says to her, "Don't be afraid, you found favor with God, you will conceive and bear this son." And I wonder what would have happened if Mary had said no. See, the angel was not announcing, he was promising. You will conceive and have a son. And I believe God said to Mary, "You have the right and you have the option to opt out." I believe God said to Mary, "You are my plan." But I want you to say yes. And I think that's what God does in our lives. I think God puts us in places where he comes to us and says, "I have a wonderful plan, but you have the right to opt out." Now, it might mess up the plan. It might mess up your life. But I'm not going to overwhelm you. And I'm not going to overrule you. Now, what happened because Mary was obedient? Well, she had a son. And that son was Jesus Christ. And that son would grow up to show us God's love. And that son would grow up to teach us God's truth. And that son would grow up to die on the cross for our sins that we can have forgiveness. And that son would not only die on the cross, he would rise again from the dead so that we can learn that even fear of death can be overcome. And Mary questions it. "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" she asks. But she obeys. But she obeys. What about us? Where are we on this stage? Where are we in God calling us? I think we need to hear that angel speak to us as well. "Don't be afraid, Dale, for you found favor with God. Don't be afraid, Dick. Don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid that your sin has separated you from God, because God has sent his son to die for us. Don't be afraid of death, because if you found favor with God, you will spend eternity with him. Don't be afraid to risk for God, because God will be there with you. Don't be afraid to embrace shame or embrace change, because we have the gift of God's Holy Spirit and we found favor with God." And maybe God is calling you to take a step for Him. I don't know where you are on this stage, but let's say you're somewhere in the very anxious side of it. Maybe this morning you have an anxious personality that you've had all your life. Maybe this morning you take medication for that anxiety, and that's a good thing to do because that's the way some of our personalities are. And maybe this morning you do that and you're saying to yourself, well, I can never take a risk because I'm too anxious. And maybe what God is saying is, I can come upon you and you can take a small step for me. Maybe this morning you're not in the fearful side, but you're in the anxious side, and you're just wondering about what God is doing. And maybe this morning God is saying, I have a step for you to take. Or maybe this morning you're in that confident phase and you just haven't heard God's voice. And maybe we need to listen for angels to hear God challenge us to move forward. See, I put in there about the shepherds, because the shepherds, they didn't really have a huge risk. It says, fear not, which was more about don't be afraid because we're angels. But I mean, all you got to do is go down to the village, take a look at the kid, ooh and awe over a baby, and then go tell everybody about it. I mean, of all the people, they had the easiest job. And maybe that's the job God's got for us. Maybe this Christmas season, God is just saying, hey, remember the fact that my son is born. And just go tell someone, as Tosh said in the announcements. You know, maybe just pick up a couple of those cards. I did this yesterday just with our neighbor. Just said, hey, listen, here's a card. I'd love you to come. You know, come ride horses. Come to Christmas Eve. And it's just welcomed. You know, it's just part of the Christmas tradition. It's the easiest time of year to invite someone to a service is that Christmas Eve service, because it's a cultural thing as well as a religious thing. But maybe this morning, you know, God is maybe calling you more into the Zechariah side of things, which was a little bit more, or maybe into the Mary Joseph side of things, which was a little bit more yet. Maybe this morning you have moved into a period where you're just in fear because of something that's happened. Maybe you've lost work. Maybe you're concerned about finances. Maybe you're concerned about health. Maybe you're concerned about family members. Maybe there's fear because of those things. And God is saying, fear not. For I am with you. You found favor. And together we might be able to do something. Maybe this morning God is challenging you to step out. Maybe you're hearing God's whisper. And maybe you heard it long before you came here this morning. But you're just hearing God say, it's time to risk this. It's time to step out here. And I don't begin to know what that is for you, but I trust that God will speak to you. I hate it when He does it sometimes, because I remember we had a guy that was a good friend of mine at the church, and he came to me one day and he said, I'm moving to Ontario because I'm changing jobs and I'm going to do this. And I said, what made you think you should go to Ontario? And he said, well, you said in a sermon one time that God would whisper in our ears. And that's what I heard Him whisper. And I said, I'm sure it wasn't God. But, you know, but then we blessed Him and sent Him and it was the right thing. But, you know, sometimes it's not always just a spiritual thing. It can be a work thing, a family thing, a relational thing, something else. But are we willing to trust God? Because what God comes and says to us, I believe, is fear not. And so maybe we step out and we've been living in fear and the fear has frozen us from ever taking a step. And God is just saying, take this tiny step with me. Fear not, for the Prince of Peace has come. And I will give you the peace that passes all understanding. Maybe this morning God is challenging us with something a little bigger. And He's telling us, fear not, for the Prince of Peace has come. And maybe He's challenging us with something that we're not sure we're up to. And He's whispering in our ear, fear not, for the Prince of Peace has come. So this morning, I don't know where we're at, but I have a feeling that all of us wrestle with anxiety and doubt and fear. At some level. Some of us because it's been with us all our lives. Some of us because we're in that season of our life where it's a fearful season. And some of us because God wants to move us into a new peace. And it's fearful. And I just wonder this morning, do you hear the angels whisper? fear not, but God has a plan. God has a step. God has something for you. Maybe it's simply fear not for the situation you're in, because God is there with you. And the situation may not change, but from the inside you have God's presence and His power. Or maybe it's fear not, but God has a new challenge, a new opportunity, a new step for you to take. And maybe this morning an angel is whispering, fear not, but hear God. Maybe this morning I've said something that you just love prayer about. And we have elders in the prayer room that can do that. We're going to dim the lights as we do and just allow a time of reflection. But I wonder this morning if God is just saying to us, fear not. Fear not, for the Prince of Peace has come. Fear not, for my Holy Spirit is with you. Fear not, for God has this wonderful thing for you. Let's hear God's angels' voices as He speaks to us through His Word. Father God, we thank You for this Christmas season. We thank You for this promise that You are with us and You are our peace. And so often, Father, that peace is in the midst of our fears and our anxieties, that we have to choose what we put our eyes on and what we focus on. And so, Father, this Advent season, as we prepare ourselves for Christmas, Father, whatever it is that You're whispering in our ears, may we hear You. May we hear Your promise of Your presence. May we hear Your command to fear not. May we receive Your Spirit afresh, that we may experience Your peace, Your presence, and Your power. And Father God, may we hear Your voice calling us to that next step for what we can do to make a difference for You in this world. And we thank You for Your promise that You are with us to the end of the age, and we should fear not. We thank You for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.